God gives you specific things to do according to his word. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? And when you try things the world's way, when you try to do things your way, your burden won't be easy.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss that the path to a spiritual breakthrough begins with a repentant and pliable heart. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, Sound Counsel to a Sinful Nation.
Let me open in prayer before I start. Lord, we've transitioned from a beautiful exercise of dedicating a little one to you. And because of your grace and because we have chosen to make you our Lord and our God, we now focus and turn our attention to your word. And I ask that you would, with any illustration, any communication that this piece of clay would give, that it would be your words. Not my words. Those that hear will be open to receive the truth. And again, that we would not just make it a practice to be religious and do a spiritual checklist, but be purposeful, demonstrate some intent to apply the word in our lives. And to conform, resemble, look like not Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, not Bernard King, but look like Jesus Christ. That's in your name we pray. Amen? Amen. Let me intro this message this way. Who do you seek? Where do you go? When will you go? And why is it important? What are you trying to address? Again, who do you seek? Where do you go? When will you go? Why is it important? What are you trying to address? The who, the where, the when, the why, the what in counseling. In counseling. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. God says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. That word sound in Hebrew, that word sound is efficient, efficient wisdom. I give efficient wisdom. That is competent, capable, producing an effect. Wisdom I give, God says, is competent and it's capable and it's able to produce an effect. So if someone should approach you, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, if someone should approach you and say, I need some advice. I need some advice. What do you need some advice in? I need some advice with faith, family, finances, friends, failures in my future. I need some advice. So, can you tell me your counselor's name? Can you tell me your counselor's name? Here's what I hope you would say. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I can tell you that. His name is Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. That's my counselor. That's his name. And he guarantees godly guidance, divine direction, and some awesome advice. That's my counselor. And not only that, guess what he can do? And he will do. He can cancel out complications. So don't say your life is too complicated. He cancels out complications. He purges perplexing problems. He heals the hurting heart. And he rescues and restores the rebel. Can I set you up for an appointment? Real easy. We can do it right now. We can make an appointment with, what's his name again? Oh, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. However, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. Oh, I was waiting for that one. How much is it going to cost? How much is he going to charge an hour? What's the cost? Well, you must be willing to repent. That's why people say, Pastor, I go to counseling, it doesn't work. I spend an astronomical amount of money to counseling, but it's not working. He won't change or she won't change. That's the problem. You're too busy focusing on that person to change and not yourself. You must be willing to repent. You must be captured by contrition. You must pound your pride to power, and you must realize your responsibility. Stop blaming everybody. You can do those things. God will graciously grant you change. Change. Now, let's listen to some sound counsel that a holy God gave to the nation of Israel. Hosea chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. Yes, sound counsel to a sinful nation. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah, against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people should be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn, but I pass over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst turn trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among the people, and all the fortresses shall be spoiled, as in Shalman, spoiled in Beth-Arbel, in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Counsel. What's the purpose of counsel? Well, counsel is supposed to create change. You have to change your disposition and change your attitudes and change your practices. And if you don't get the right counsel, it could be devastating. Whenever you consider counsel, you got to make sure that he is the wonderful counselor. I'm here to tell you, there's no other advice and no other counsel that rivals the Most High God. How many of you guys know that? It was kind of quiet on that because some of you are like, oh, is that, I'm trying to believe in that, Pastor. It's God. There is no counsel, there's no wisdom, there's no judgment, there's no understanding beyond him, because the Bible says his ways are past finding out. But he has a word for the nation of Israel. He has counsel to give them. Let's look at verse 9. First of all, when you counsel someone, you got to call it for what it is. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to be so diplomatic. I just want to be gracious. God calls it out here. I just want to be gracious, and I just want to develop empathy with them. They have that discipline, that practice, it has its place. But when I know the God of the Scriptures, the God of the Scriptures is going to hit you is what I call the proverbial headlights. He's going to hit you right between the headlights. He's going to hit you right in your heart, because guess what? Because the Word of God is quick and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. Did you know that? So when God has a word to say, can you pay attention? God says, let me tell you what you've done, Israel. You have sinned from the days of Gibeah. Take note of that. For homework, I've had you read Judges chapter 19. Because the gravity, the degree, the depravity of the kind of sin that Israel participated in this event, Hosea is saying, they're worse. It's just as bad, Pastor. Just like the days, they go back to a historical account that took place that was an absolute appalling act of abuse and assault. And by the way, with a Levite, with his mistress, there were some things that was horrendous and that was wicked. And it marked a very dark stain in the nation of Israel. Look at that for homework. He said, hey, the children there was a fight because of that, because righteousness ensued to rectify the things, to correct the things. And even though they took actions to correct that evil that was done, God says, there's still sin in the camp. There was still sin in the camp. It's interesting. When you find yourself, I hope you don't find yourself, but the reality is there will be a season where if you are entertaining things that you shouldn't entertain, things that used to have a standard, used to have guidelines, used to have values that was biblical, and now because of the inundation of the media and the culture, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, I'm asking you to be careful. Because there's something about in biology we can learn from the human eye. The human eye, guess what it does? It will adjust to the light, and it will adjust to the dark. Make sure that your eyes are not adjusting to the dark, where you become blind. And that's the spirit that we find here in this passage. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 now. God says, let me tell you what, Mr. Counselor said, let me tell you what's on my heart. Here's what I'm going to do. It is my desire that I will discipline or chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, and they shall bind themselves in two furrows. God says, I choose the time. I choose how. Too often, we're going to give God advice to help him in terms of assisting us to correct the problem. With all due respect, God does not need your help. God is the one that is sovereign. He will choose how to discipline, and he will bring his form of correction, and it will always be right. I'm not going to ask you to say amen on that one. But we should be able to say God is always right. God says, I'm going to bring these nations, and through the nations, the Assyrian army, and a little bit later, Babylon will come along, and I'm going to chasten and I'm going to discipline Israel for their disobedience. And in verse 11, we move from lessons that God would choose in the farm. He would take what happens on a farm where there's animals. He's going to do some correcting now. Now, I want you to think about on a farm. I want you to think, before we get into the cow illustration, think about you have this obstinate, this animal, this cow or this horse or this animal will not cooperate. He's just so difficult to manage. He is so hard to, there got to come a place where the farmer got to say, I got to show this person who's in charge. Because they are stubborn. You know anybody like that in the body of Christ? Here's the thing, let me give you some advice. You're trying to demonstrate to them that you are in charge. You must demonstrate that God is in charge. God is the one that's in charge, and God will say, I'm going to let the nations know. Just like an animal will kick against me, I will control this, I'm going to correct this, I will guide Israel, I will guide Jacob, even if they kick against me. That's one thing about God. Just because you fight against God, it doesn't faze him. You can kick, you can fight. I know what you're saying, God, but I'm not doing it. And you think you're being effective. God is not phased. He's going to keep doing his work in your life. Because here's what I want you to know. He made a promise to you, and he made a promise to me. And guess what that promise was? You should know it, Philippians 1:6. I began a good work in you, and I will complete it and conform it to the day of Christ Jesus. It's not like what our parents used to say to you. Boy, I'm going to straighten you out. Even if it kills me, I'm going to straighten you out. God doesn't do that. God has a higher purpose. God wants you to look like his son. God wants to walk you in victory. God wants to bless you with strength and peace. But right now, he says, I got some discipline. I have some things I got to do with the nation of Israel right now. In verse 11, when you see terms or a title like Ephraim, Judah, where he's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom with Ephraim, and he's talking about Judah and Jacob. We're all talking about Israel. And I want you to see something very interesting in verse 11 as we continue our example or the metaphor or the picture we have on the animal on a farm. Well, heifer in the KJV is another word for cow or oxen, okay, that plows. But what we see in verse 11 is that there's going to be an exchange. There's a replacement that's going to take place. A replacement of what, Pastor? Well, a yoke will change. The yoking of the animal, well, it was an easy yoke. It was a more pleasant yoke. But now I'm getting ready to turn that yoke into something a little bit more severe, a little bit more exhausting. Ephraim is a heifer that is taught. That means been trained to plow, and love to tread out the corn. But I pass over her upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his claws. In other words, Ephraim, again, the northern kingdom, Israel, says he's like a trained cow that loved to thresh and march and thresh out the corn and thresh out the wheat. But the nice thing with God's yoke initially is that the cow is able to enjoy. It was a less of a task than really plowing, so the cow's able to, as it's treading, is able to enjoy his work with the corn. He's muzzled. He's not muzzled at all. He's not muzzled. He has freedom. He has freedom to thresh out. But Israel got tired of that easy blessing and that task. I don't like the yoke of blessing. I don't like the yoke of pleasure in my life, so I want something different. That's where you see the expression in the KJV in verse 11 about a different yoke, that fair neck. Israel's neck will be forced now to engage in extreme and exhausting work because of her rebellion. Let me ask you something. God gives you specific things to do according to his work. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? And when you try things the world's way, when you try to do things your way, your burden won't be easy. And you'll be yoked into something that's not really light. Israel was going to get into, God says, your pleasant yoke will be replaced with a punishing yoke. That's what verse 11 is all about. Now we move to verse 12. Everybody say fallow ground. The counselor says, God gave you, he evaluated your sin. He told you the conditions of your sin and the consequences of your sin. Now the counselor is going to call you to repentance. The counselor is calling Israel to repent and to change. You want change in your life. There are some things that got to take place. I got to, again, focus on your heart. See, you're too much. Sometimes we focus on the surface with counseling. We only stay on the surface, on the periphery. You got to get deep down at the what they would call the salient issue. What's the salient issue? Well, it's not because your mom did this to you and your dad did this and you got a history of this and a history of that. No, the deep issue is your human heart. The idol that's in your heart. The issue is the heart. Let's look at it. It's hard. Oh, it's very hard. Been hardened by life, hardened by disappointment, hardened by hypocrisy. What are the things that put people in a position where they have a hard heart, especially toward God? A loss, and even losing resources, the things that goes on in this world, depression and frustration, disquieting emotions. Let's look at this fallow ground. Verse 12. Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Notice God did not say, break up my, I have no fallow ground. He didn't say, your husband's fallow ground, your wife's fallow ground, your children's fallow ground, or the boss's or your employer's fallow ground. He said, yours. Break up your fallow ground. Enough of this. Aren't you tired yet? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Stop procrastinating. Stop saying, I get to it when I feel like it. Even in the body of Christ, even as I'm speaking right now, there's fallow hearts. Fallow ground, heart, heart like this tile floor. If I was a farmer and I want to spread out seed so the seed can land on this tile floor, that would be a futile exercise because the seeds would not plant in this tile. He said, Pastor, that's really easy. It's just going to lay right on top. The seed's just going to stay on top. Hold on to the picture here. There are people been going to church how long? Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, mission trip after mission trip, over and over, every Christmas, every Resurrection Day celebration, you come to church Sunday after Sunday, and the wife says, he's not changing, and the husband says, she's not changing, and the parents say, children are not changing. Oh, break up the fallow ground. You're not going to change. And as a boy growing up in Georgia, we used to have a little garden. Now, garden is about perspective now. It may have been, I would say, at the most in our backyard, 50 yards, 60 yards or so, but some people got, Pastor, that's no garden, that's a little stamp. Because this guy has acres and acres. But get the picture. We had this apparatus, a plow. And we called it a tiller, but it was a plow. It was gasoline operated. And it had the teeth where it would basically churn and break up the ground. See, the ground had to be broken in order to plant something new. And especially when it's out there and it's like 100-something degrees outside and it's that red Georgia clay and it's been hardened. It's been hardened because it hadn't been worked on in some time. It's hard work. But the plow, you stay in that one spot, and you just keep working. You keep working. You keep working. And some of you are sitting in church, and God's like, I'm sending the Spirit every Sunday, Pastor King. I'm giving them the Word of God, Pastor King. But they just sit there with a heart of cement. They need to repent. Harden. Break up the fallow ground. God has put his hand on something in your life. And he's told you about it on more than one occasion. And you continue to make excuses. You continue to postpone your breakthrough. You want a breakthrough? Break up the fallow ground. He's told you what to do about that situation. But you align yourself in pride, and he got your hand on it, and it's starting to bother you so much that God has told you about these things. All of a sudden, here's when it gets dangerous. You can't hear him anymore because you're so callous. The worst thing that can happen is what we see in the book of Romans, chapter 1, where God says he turns you over to a reprobate mind. Please don't go there. How many times come to me that you might have life? How many times he says repent? How many times he's telling you, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me? How many times has God said, I died for you. I put my son on Calvary's cross. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day so you can have eternal life, and you reject it. I was in a church for many years where no one told me the good news of Jesus Christ. But boy, did we have some religion, and boy, could we shout and sing. But guess what? Nothing but fallow ground. There was no fruit of a changed life. And God is telling Israel, break up your fallow ground. Stop postponing this blessing in your life. If you don't, you will be reaping the judgment from God.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Sound Counsel to a Sinful Nation. In today's message, Pastor Bernard emphasized that a spiritual breakthrough begins with a repentant heart that is soft towards the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 51:17 that God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. What about you? Have life experiences hardened your heart towards God? Have disappointment, hardship, or hypocrisy caused you to turn from the Lord and reject his influence in your life? This type of attitude will postpone the blessing of God and invite judgment. To restore a right relationship with God, you must humble yourselves so that you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. To learn more about a right relationship with God, visit our website, cbfdelray.org, or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.